All right, if you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 4, this is an interesting passage of Scripture, and I would just like to take a few moments. I apologize. I have had some people come to me, and they said, we knew you were preaching because the outline is long, okay? I will try to make sure. Okay, it might be long here, but I will try not to be long-winded, okay? And I will try not to keep us here too long. But I do hope that, you know, you notice on the outline, I make sure everyone's got one, but you know, we changed the front of it. Michelle changed it this week, and it has a lighthouse. And I was thinking about this as Pastor again told us this afternoon, he wasn't going to be able to be here tonight. And I was thinking about this passage of Scripture when Jesus heals in the home. And I just want to read this passage in Luke chapter 4. And I just want to start off with verse 32. I know the outline says verse 37, but let me read in verse 32 starting off. The Bible says, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Now his doctrine, there's Jesus' doctrine. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him. And that word rebuked is important there, because that's the same word Jesus is going to rebuke later on for this fever that this Peter's mother-in-law had. Verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. So this is the testimony of people looking at it and saying, wow, look at the power that Jesus has that we've never seen any other prophet or any other person have. And then our text is going to be in verse 37. But I wanted you to have the background of those first few verses. The Bible says in Luke 4:37, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue. So notice where he was. It was a place of worship. Jesus had just preached in the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was settling, all they that had any sick with divers diseases, brought them unto him and laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And you'll notice later on, and devils came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. You know, Pastor, one of the great privileges of being in a church like this, and being in a church that has a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service. His pastor is going to take the month of March. And again, he apologized that he could not be here tonight. But he's going to take the month of March and go through preaching on the home and family. And I cannot think of a more apropos subject to be speaking about in this day and age than the home. Whether you are, no matter your age, no matter what part of life you are in, the home is something that when our home is destroyed, when as husbands we don't do what we should do, and wives we don't do what we should do, things crumble. And I can think on this front here, we have this picture of this lighthouse, and you can just look at it there. I can remember being on the ocean and having a lighthouse shining out. And I remember the boat was coming in fairly close, and I remember thinking, I see the light, and this lighthouse shone brightly. But I can remember looking at it and thinking that lighthouse didn't make one noise, but we all knew what it was there for, and it was to warn us. And I want us to remember next month is Family Month, and Pastor will be preaching about the home, but I noticed tonight the lighthouse is on our bulletin, and if our homes are going to be lights, if each home here is bright with the light of Christ, and we each focus on just being closer, not to each other. The focus needs to be on being close to Christ. And we're going to study about Christ tonight. But the closer I get to the Lord, and the closer my wife gets to the Lord, the closer we become together. And tonight we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. And when Peter's home was touched by a wonderful miracle of healing not long after he had began following Christ. If you notice in your outline, he was touched by a wonderful miracle of healing not long after he began following Christ. In these short verses, we're going to notice the great problem, the master's plan, and a powerful example of service. Our text from Luke, now you can also look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and all these men account for this passage of Scripture. And if you look at the Synoptic Gospels and you look at them and you compare them to it, I'm just going to take parts of each one of those and put this story together. But it's a fascinating story. When you look at Peter's mother-in-law experienced a great problem. And if you notice with me, right after the fame of Jesus went about. And so things are going great. Everyone is excited. The fame of Jesus is at an all-time high at this moment. And then all of a sudden, we read in verse 38, he arose out of the synagogue, so he was preaching, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And so I noticed number one here in the outline, Peter's mother-in-law experienced a great problem. Now this fever tonight, it could be analogous to just about anything that we're going through today, but there's going to be trials and testings in each one of our life. It might not be a physical fever, but it might be. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment with my wife. She went through a physical fever that has caused many things in our home, and I've seen God use a physical fever for God to get the honor and the glory from many things. But in this passage of Scripture, we're going to notice that, number one, I want you to see in the outline, letter A, it was a severe fever. Luke the physician, if you notice in Matthew and Mark, how many of you can tell your children apart, or maybe you see someone writing a note, and you can tell how they write, you can tell exactly what kid it is by their writing. Anybody, can you do that? How many of you can tell adults' handwriting apart, and you can just tell, I know this is this person, I know this is... Well, you can tell Luke here, you can tell by the words he uses. He talks about, number one, he said it was a great fever. So your first blank here, Luke the physician said it was a great fever. And I think Luke, being a doctor, being a physician, would have been very understanding to know, listen, it's not just any kind of fever. It's not just something where you have a headache and you got a slight fever. No, this fever was great. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had a great fever. I know and it's terrible to rank a fever. Fevers are bad any way you get them. But I can remember being in Uganda, and one day my wife, we would... There, when you're baptizing people, you don't have a baptistry tank like this in your church. So you don't have water to get to the villages. So what we would have to do is we'd have to put big barrels, big oil drums actually, and I would cut the holes out of the top of the oil drums, and I would fill the baptistry water in those oil drums, and I would take it to a baptistry such as that, and then we would fill it up manually, get a generator and throw the water in it. But we had to get the water from a well. Does anybody know the average temperature of well water? Is it cold or is it hot? It is cold. And I can remember, and Mandy, do you remember, this is like one of the first baptismals we had there. And I was so excited. And I was like, man, we baptized about 10 people. And I remember sitting there and I felt hot, but I did not know why I felt hot. I felt a little achy. But, you know, when you're in 56 degree water, you know, you're like, you know, you just kind of, gives you a little pep in your step. You know, you're wanting to get out of there. And then I remember baptizing these folks and coming home, and my wife looked at me and she said these words. She said, Mandy, you remember what she said? Good, she remembered. She said, and we have not talked about that. You didn't know I was preaching on this. She says, Jeremy, you don't look so good. I thought, well, look at me. I know that. I know I don't look so good. She goes, Jeremy, are you okay? I said, yeah. And I was so, I think, excited. Now, let me just say this. The mission field is exciting. And when you're seeing people saved and baptized, it's exciting. But there was a moment where it hit me that she said, Jeremy, your skin is emanating like great heat. And she grabbed my arm, and we ended up finding out it was malaria, and I was running over 104 degree fever. And she said, you know, you need to go lay down. And I remember laying down, and then I remember almost not wait, like I woke up, and it was like many hours later. You know what? I didn't realize the effects of a great fever. In this passage of Scripture, Peter's mother-in-law experienced a great problem. I do not know. That fever, that physical fever to me, was something that I could have taken a preventative for, and I was, but the preventative didn't work. And the preventative that did not work was a malaria medication, and it just didn't work. You know, tonight, there are things that we can take as preventatives for our home that Pastor is going to give us in the coming weeks that I hope every one of us will make an attempt and an ardent effort to get here every time the doors are open to hear the messages from God's Word. You notice in this passage, she had a great problem. It was a severe fever. And then I want you to see letter B. It quite possibly could have been a seasonal fever. Scholar Herbert Locklear here notes that fevers generated at the marshy land of Tabiga, the area of Capernaum, were common at the springtime of the year when this miracle took place. So initially, when you're just reading through this passage, you can kind of glance over it. Now, we're going to look at it in just a moment. This was not just a seasonal fever. This was something that Satan actually sent to Peter's mother-in-law to distract people from the gospel. But I notice here that a lot of scholars said, you know, a lot of people would have misconstrued this fever of just being a normal fever that she was going through. And it reminded me that we never know when problems are going to arise. All of us should be prepared for life when it comes and it happens to us, where something happens, and maybe it's not a physical fever, but it's something that happens and there's a word that is spoken in the home, and we just want to tell somebody exactly what we think and we know. It's not a physical fever, but it's a spiritual fever. Every one of us tonight can have a spiritual fever. And if we don't recognize that, we won't have better homes. My wife can tell you, I hope she does not tell you tonight, but there are times that in me, I can say something and I'll go back to my wife and say, I am so sorry. I did not mean it that way. All of us have to check our spiritual temperature. And tonight, it might not be a physical fever tonight, but all of us are going to go through seasons of testing, seasons of trials. So don't be surprised when bad things happen to good people. If you notice in this passage of scripture, we see it was a sudden trial that occurred with letter C, little warning. It occurred with little warning. Don't you like to have warning signs? All of us, I think, tonight would like to say, you know, the next trial that comes up in my life, it would be nice to have. And my eldest son, Micah, is just now learning to drive. I'm giving you fair warning right now. He is learning to drive. And he notices now every time when I'm driving and the light is yellow. Now, Pastor's not here tonight. I hope he's not watching. I mean, I hope he is watching. If he is driving and Micah is with him, my son will notice yellow lights. Yellow light is warning. And I mean, in Micah's opinion, when it's yellow, Dad, that means stop. And now, my driving has gotten a lot better the last couple months. I'll tell you that. It's not yellow is speed up. It's a warning to go, okay, slow down. And now, when I see a yellow light, man, several men in our church work with police. You'll be proud of me now to notice when you see me blazing down Route 7. When it's a yellow light, I try to hit that brake as soon as I can. You know what? Because it's a warning. And I want my son to understand what a warning light is for, what that yellow light means to start slowing down. It doesn't mean, I've seen this multiple times, to speed up. You know, the fact of the matter is when you speed up through a yellow light, and they have studies on this, but their accidents increase exponentially. When you don't follow the warning sign of just a red light, you don't follow that yellow light and you want to speed up. I'll never forget, we were in Texas. I was in fifth grade. There was a Jeep turning on LBJ Freeway. And I'll never forget my dad saying, oh no. And it was a yellow light and a Jeep ran the light. I'll never forget a woman. There was a T-bone accident, basically hit, and a woman flew out the other side. The first thing I remember is her face hitting the ground, and my pastor was one of the first ones on scene. That person met their eternal destiny that night. I remember as a kid, I thought, you know what? I need to be careful when it comes to yellow lights. You know, fevers are given for some warning signs, and in this passage of scripture, we see it was a sudden trial, a sudden fever that occurred with little warning. And oftentimes as Christians, we can experience severe and sudden trials in our life that God desires to help us with. God never puts a trial or a temptation in front of us that he says, I won't give you everything that you need to get through it. Because Christ loves us. God loves us. I notice in this, it quite possibly, as we look at it being sudden, I think it's interesting here that it happened right after they were in the synagogue. Right after Jesus has this great message and he's speaking, and you notice from other passages he was speaking in Matthew and Mark, and he preaches, and have you ever been to a good church service and you're like, no, not tonight, Jeremy. You ever been to a good service and you're coming and you get out and you're fired up and you're like, man, I was excited, and you go home and immediately it's like Satan has something happen. Maybe somebody says something in the car and you just, you got to fight it. Have you ever noticed when you're coming to church, bad things can happen? Is that the only time? Am I the only one that has that happen to? Sunday morning, I shared this with the Sunday school class. If I use my daughter, I have to give her $5 because I didn't get permission for this. All right, I'm not going to use my daughter. I'll use my wife because she's here and she doesn't mind. She won't charge me. My wife and I were talking about in Uganda how that whenever you curl your hair, now I don't curl my hair, just in case you're wondering. When you curl your hair and it's wet, and it's the wet season there, it falls. Okay, how many of you ladies know what I'm talking about? Sunday morning we had rain. It was raining, and my wife put a coat over her head. I did have an umbrella, but she said, I got to get in. So I pulled up right there to that door. How many of you noticed that little step that's right there? Well, I pulled up as close as I could. I didn't want to rub my rims, right on there. That's always a, thing. You got to be careful. I pull up, and Michaela had curled her hair. I just got to pay her $5, I think. All right. Anyway, Michaela had done it, and she was getting out. And she goes, Dad, I'm okay. I'm just going to run in. They start to run in the service, and I guess this is about 8 o'clock in the morning, and the rain's coming down, and they run in, and Mandy had some stuff in her hand, and it fell out. Well, how many of you know what a key fob is? You know what a key fob is? How many of you know how expensive a key fob is? It fell right in between the crack, in between that little step, and it didn't just fall there where you could just pick it up. It goes ding and goes all the way underneath the car. And I'm sitting there, and I start laughing because I knew I had a son. I said, Micah, get that. And Micah, good obedient Micah, yes, sir, Dad. And he's getting soaked, and he's reaching his hand underneath the car. But if I moved the car, I was afraid I was going to run over it and break, $200 key fob. And I remember thinking, getting in, and he was wet. I was wet because I did help. And I remember getting, what is going on? And if we're not careful, something like that can cause us to lose our sweetness coming into church. To lose that thing where somebody can say something in the car, and it sets us off. We have to be careful. This situation happened. Jesus was coming out of the synagogue and Peter had invited him into his house. He did not invite him to his house to heal his mother-in-law. He didn't know his mother-in-law was sick at this time. He says, Jesus, come and enjoy food and enjoy fellowship. And they come in and all of a sudden there's a great problem. You know what I'm encouraged with tonight is Jesus is prepared for every one of our problems. We don't have to worry about, this problem and that problem, what do I do? The Lord always has the answer. I notice here in the outline, it was a sudden trial that occurred with little warning. And oftentimes as Christians, we can experience severe and sudden trials in our life that God desires to help us with. I notice, if you skip down, letter D, the suddenness of this came to Peter soon after he had given up his business to go into full-time service for Christ. So if you can imagine, Jesus is coming out of the synagogue. They had a great service. They're coming out and this problem happens. But furthermore, we know from the other passages of Scripture in Matthew and Mark, Peter had only been saved for a few months at this time. One thing we have to do a good job of as a church is when someone gets saved and they're a new convert, we have to be careful at encouraging them. Encouraging them in the way of the Lord. Because Peter here was newly saved and just called into full-time Christian ministry. He's called into full-time Christian ministry and all of a sudden somebody makes a decision for Christ. I'm going to go forward to him, forward for God. And what happens? A problem hits. And we need to be careful to encourage. When people make a decision for Christ, Satan wants to take that back. Satan, when your children choose maybe a certain thing that they're wanting to do for the Lord, always encourage them, because you know Satan will be quick to try to discourage them. I see here, the suddenness of this came to Peter, letter D, soon after he had given up his business to go into full-time service for Christ. And just by way of note, when we make the decision to obey Christ, here in your outline, we must allow God to use potential stumbling blocks as our stepping stones to walk for Christ. So in the blank there, to use potential stumbling blocks as our stepping stones to walk for Christ. Now, every one of us tonight has some potential stumbling blocks that can happen to each one of us. And it's your job to take the truth of God's word, let God apply it to your heart and say, I'm not going to use this for a stumbling block. I'm going to use this for a stepping stone. One of the things my mom always used to tell me, and when I was really little, and then as I got older, she would look at me and she would say, you know what? Don't stumble over it, Jeremy. She goes, you just need to and she would say it almost, I teased her. I said, you sound like Andy Griffith when you say this, Mom. She said, you just need to step right over it. And I remember her constantly, so in my head, sometimes when something happens, I just remember, I got to step. And she had that southern drawl, that southern twang that I cannot do. She said, you just need to step over it. You know, tonight, don't let whatever thing is happening in your life that is a trial, that is a temptation, don't let it be the stumbling block. Let it be the stepping stone that causes you to go higher for Jesus Christ. It reminds us, number one, it reminds us that no Christian is exempt from trials at home. No Christian is exempt from trials at home. I've often thought sometimes when we get saved and we're doing right and we commit to do the right thing, Peter's doing the right thing, and yet it's his mother-in-law who's sick. He's with Jesus. I mean, I'm doing the right things. I'm hanging around with the right crowd. No matter what you do in this life, remember, you're in this life. And Satan desires to sift us as wheat. And at times we can deceive ourselves thinking everything's going to be okay. No one in this room tonight is exempt from trials, is exempt from problems. Human nature likes to think that when we live right, we should escape trials. Isn't that what we'd like to think? If I live right, if I do right, things are going to go right. Yet throughout Scripture, the common example is, yea, all that shall live godly shall suffer, can you finish it for me? Shall suffer persecution. Too many times I noticed the greatest growth in our church in Uganda was when rebel insurgents were coming over into the county and children had to walk into the city at night for safety. You know when I noticed the biggest crowds in some of our village churches? It was when they had to depend on God and God alone to protect them. Too many times we wait for problems to happen before we come to the Lord. Now you might be in the midst of a great problem tonight, and I'm going to say, go ahead and come to the Lord. But don't wait for that time to come to Him. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Psalm 34:19. It emphasizes the lack of immunity for the godly from troubles in this life. However much we may be beloved of God, we are not to expect an exemption from troubles. Peter was one of the peculiar favorites of our Lord, I think, and privileged to have more access to him than almost any of the apostles. Yet we find him in severe affliction with his mother getting this sickness. And I want you to notice here in this passage, and as they arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. They besought him for her, and he stood over her. I think it's interesting here that our great enemy, Satan, was the one who caused this sickness. And many of the troubles, you say, well, how do we know that? Well, he uses the word rebuke. And it's the same rebuke that he used when he was casting out the demons. And Satan brought this fever onto his mother-in-law. And you can look at two other passages of Scripture to see this. But tonight, don't be deceived in thinking Satan or his demons. I don't think any of us are strong enough where we could that Satan would necessarily come after us, but his demons certainly do want to afflict us and cause us problems. Satan's timing of this trial, of this fever, was immediately upon Peter returning home after attending that synagogue. I've often thought, look at number two here. It reminds us that no Christian is exempt from trials at home, number one. Number two, Satan's timing of this fever was immediately upon Peter returning home after attending the synagogue where Christ preached, in verse 38. Notice Roman numeral 2, the master had a plan for this sickness. And perhaps tonight you're wondering, what is the plan that God has for me? I know this. When my wife got sick with Ong-Yong and Yong fever, and we were sitting there and we were wondering, and Mandy remembers this very well because she endured it, she still every day has to take medicine from Johns Hopkins. And she has to take powerful drugs that keep her fever from going up past 101, past 102. She keeps taking this medicine to help her joint. She was in a wheelchair at that one point. I remember her taking shots at breakfast and lunch and dinner just to keep food down. The doctor said, she has a terrible case. And they said, but it'll only last for a season. We had no idea that it was going to go chronic in her system. And the doctor said, well, now that it's chronic, we don't have any of the answers. Now, thankfully, because you have been praying, she has been experiencing, she said, these are some of the best times I've had. And even though doctors say it's going to be chronic, she says, you know, I have been feeling much better. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. Because it doesn't mean God's going to take away a fever, but it means God gives you the strength to get through it. And tonight, I wonder, the master had a plan for this sickness. Her and I were talking about this the other night. She said, Jeremy, if I wouldn't have gotten the fever, you know we'd still be in Uganda and we'd still be ministering, we'd still be serving. And she says, and we talked about how much we love it here at Temple. But for some reason, I don't know if it was my stubbornness. I know it was my stubbornness because we were laughing. We said, we both stubbornly just wanted to be in Uganda. But you know, God had a different plan for us. Mandy and I both laughed about it. We said it took a fever, a great sickness to get us to do the thing. But we said, Lord, we both knew we were willing to do something different if he showed us. But you know what God chose to do? God chose to allow her to have the fever. I think if God would have told us, we both would have come without that. But you know, God has a plan and God has a purpose for every situation. And I'm thankful my wife doesn't question. She doesn't say, but God, what if this, what if that? My mother was very good at not questioning God. That was, and you know, because my wife and I talked about this the other night too. She said, you know, your mom was a great example of how to handle trials and troubles. Tonight, in this situation, we see the master had a plan for this sickness, and perhaps it was to test her faith, to see if these men would trust in his help first. You notice in verse 38, the Bible says, they besought him for her. So Jesus is in another room, and they come in, and they besought him to help her. It reminds me that Christ should be, number one, the first one we consult when problems arise. How many times do I go to other people to help solve a problem when the first person I tell my children to go to is the Lord? I tell them to pray about this, pray about that, but sometimes dad doesn't go to the Lord first. And that's one of the great examples I think we can teach our children over this next month of Family Month is when we have an issue, when we have a problem, teach our children to go to the Lord first. It's great for Micah, it's great for you to come to me, but have you prayed about it? I want Micah and Michaela and Malachi, my children, to learn the first thing is they go to the Lord first, even before they come to mom and dad. Because you know, one day mom and dad will be gone. And they're going to be out on their own, and I want them to establish the principle of, as this passage says, they besought the Lord for her. Christ should be the first one we consult when problems arise. Number two, what family members, I just wrote this down, are we seeking Christ to help in various times of need? Every one of us has family members that we can reach out to, that we can help. And I notice in this passage, Peter wanted Jesus' help with his mother-in-law. I noticed letter B, it revealed a measure of how much Christ cared for her in this situation. We will never know the true reason for his plan. But you know, we don't have to know his plan, nor do we have to know his purpose. We know God is in any trial that we go through. Christ knows our problems, but our telling him expresses our faith in him and thus honors the master. As soon as the problem was discovered, you notice the Lord was sought out for help. This is not the usual practice of mankind. So it's something that we have to teach. Most people do not come to the Lord quickly in prayer when confronted with problems. A spontaneous prayer life is normally only happens when we have problems. And I just want to encourage you tonight. This week, this month that's coming up in March, I hope, no pun intended, that we can march forward for Christ. Because where are your children going to hear how to walk with the Lord unless it's in this place? They're not going to learn it in the public school system. It's not enough for them just to go to a Christian school. They need to hear it from here, but they also need to hear it from home. As we talked about lighthouses earlier, I trust that our homes could be lighthouses that shine and that people see Christ in us. We talked about the source of this fever being satanic, and when healing Peter's mother-in-law, it indicated very plainly that the source of the trial, if you notice, the rebuked here and curing the fever is the same word translated rebuked in Luke 4:35, which speaks of Christ casting out the demon. It revealed a measure of how much Christ cared for her in this situation. Notice what the words he used here very quickly. It says in verse 39, after they besought him for her, look at verse 39, and he stood over her. So this is Jesus now. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. It would help if I would read the other passage in this passage. I don't have it marked here. I'll turn to it in a second. But I want you to notice Christ is cognizant of all of our problems. He's cognizant of all of our problems. So that's Roman numeral 2b. Number one, Christ is aware of all of our problems. He saw his wife's mother sick of a fever. Number two, Christ is compassionate for us in our troubles. You notice Luke, the physician, makes a note that Christ stood over her. This Greek word means he bent over her, revealing a posture of one who is concerned for the one he is looking at. And let me just remind you tonight, Jesus Christ truly cares for our problems. So there's never a time when you don't come to this altar and you don't pray where Jesus just has a deaf ear. No, his hand is not shortened that it cannot help. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. I would remind us tonight that we can bring any issue to the Lord. Christ is compassionate for us in our troubles. Luke, the physician, makes that note here. He stood over her. It reminds me, Christ can conquer any problem that we encounter. You notice Christ took her by the hand and lifted her up. And that's in Mark 1:31. That's a parallel passage. You know, no matter what situation you're in, notice number three, he truly can lift us from dire and serious circumstances. From dire and serious circumstances. I got a call today from a Ugandan gentleman. He just told me he was sharing some prayer requests with me. But I got a call a couple of weeks ago from a gentleman who was exactly like this demon-possessed man. And over the period in Uganda, I probably dealt with 8 or 9 people that were in this boat. And there's times that you can be going through a trouble. You can be going through a trial. And it's not a physical fever, but it's an ailment. Or it's a weight. And we say it's too much. And I'll never forget this gentleman who called me recently. He said this. He said, "Pastor, You're not here anymore," and he lives very far away from even where Alan Sutphin is at in Sirota. He lives a great distance away. But he said, "You know what I realized, Pastor, when you left?" He said, "The Bible is able to help me through any problem." And you know tonight, the Bible is able to help us through any problem. Sometimes the weight gets heavy, and you have a problem, and you say, "Well, God, I don't understand." And God says, "Jeremy, you don't have to understand. You just have to trust me. You just have to have faith to know that I'm in control." Christ is compassionate for our troubles. Christ can conquer any problem we encounter. But this certain gentleman that called me and said, "Hey, Pastor, the Bible handles everything." He was one of the ones who was chasing his wife with a knife, trying to take her life. And I got a phone call in the middle of the night to come out, and I did. And he was completely crazed out of his mind. And I'll never forget spending time with him over a 2-day period, and all of a sudden, those demons were gone. And it wasn't me doing anything, it was the Word of God taking care of it in his life. And you know, if we look at these passages, sometimes we read them with an eye of, "Well, that was nice, that was 2,000 years ago." No, the same God that is in this passage is the God who can help you with your problems today. He gives you strength to get through your issues. Tonight, I'm afraid too many times, Jeremy Pittman doesn't look to the God of heaven. He might go to somebody else. He doesn't trust in the Lord, his maker, with everything he has. I don't realize sometimes that he can truly lift me from dire and serious circumstances. Notice number three, lastly, the mother-in-law's powerful example in the home was exhibited to all. And I think this is really special, because how many times have you been sick and you get a fever? And how many of you, when you get a fever and let's say the next day you don't run a fever, how many of you are just ready to Woohoo! Let me get up. Let me do housework. Let me go mow the lawn. Anybody like that? Yeah, I can. You know, if I was going to guess, I would say pastor would probably be like that. Hey, let me go mow the lawn. I think it looks a little, you know, like, Dad, it's February. The lawn hasn't grown at all, you know. Pastor normally, I mean, he just likes to, hey, okay. So when he's sick, you know, he's sick and he's down for the count. But man, when he told me the other day, he said, hey, when I get a fever, I just can't do anything. It's like everything's bad everywhere. You know, this woman, when she had her fever, look after it was done. Look at when Jesus stepped in and stood over her and rebuked the fever. Notice what the Bible says. It left her. And again, I'm not turning to the part in Matthew and Mark, but I'm filling it in. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. How'd you like to have a fever and have instant healing? And all of a sudden you're just, well, hey, let me not just do something for me. Let me go help everybody else. Let me just go be a servant. You know what happens? That's what happens when Jesus steps into the home. When Jesus steps in and says, you know what? I can carry you through that trial. You just have to trust me. Jesus can provide great healing. We see she experienced a great change instantly. The problem in Peter's home was cured because the master was in the home to help. She experienced a great change instantly. Letter A. She experienced a great change instantly. She arose and ministered unto them. And I just put a note here, verse 39. This was a great miracle. She arose and ministered unto them. And normally great fevers are not normally overcome by the body so quickly. And normally they have an enfeebling effect on our energy. It just tells me this. Listen, no matter what issue you're going through this evening, no matter what issue your child might be going through, the Lord can fix it. But too many times, I don't get down on my knees. I have videos that are precious to me. Some of the most precious videos to me are not videos of, and I love the videos of my children. Some of the most precious videos to me are some men in our church praying for Rebecca Gardner, praying for some other people in this church. When I just sat down, I realized we were on a concrete floor, and we were all laying with our faces on the ground, and I heard people who had only been saved for 4 and 5 months, but that had been saved from the grasp of Satan, and some of them had been demon-possessed, and now they prayed with power. And I remember them saying, Pastor, and they would say it with such conviction. They would say, Pastor, my life will never be the same. You know why? Because they experienced the terrible despondency of Satan, and now they experienced the delight of God, and they said, I'm never going back. Too many times, we become comfortable for whatever reason, and we don't take our request to the Lord first. She experienced a great change instantly. She arose and ministered unto them, and this was a great miracle, as we talked about. Great fevers are not normally overcome by the body so quickly. Notice what she does, though. When the Lord steps in and helps you with an issue, when he helps you with a problem, as some of these men would come to me and they would say, Pastor, you know, now I still have the struggle to go back to this sin and to that sin. But they said, they love the song, He is Able. Does anybody know that chorus? He's able, he's able, my Lord, he's able. They loved singing that song. They would, and sometimes we would just have devotions at my house and they would come over and they would just sing because they realized, I'm not able. Tonight, none of us in this room are able. But he's able. In this passage, we see the change in her conduct. The uncontestable evidence here that Christ had worked miraculously in her life was in the fact that her conduct evidenced a wonderful change. She immediately arose and ministered unto them after Christ worked in her life. We see she used her restored strength. Notice what she used her restored strength to do. And this is an encouragement to all of us. Letter B, she used her restored strength to serve them. She was an instant servant to others. Letter B, she was an instant servant to others. You know, I want that to be the testimony of my family. I want my children to be instant servants. Whenever they're going through a trial and we let them see that the Bible can help them through, the church can help them through this trial, but they have to make a choice. And I want my children to understand that, but I want them to experience this and see that they need to use their strength to serve God. To serve him with all their life. Notice letter C. The basis for our healing is often given so that we might serve Christ more effectively. Letter C, the basis for our healing is often given so that we might serve Christ more effectively. You know, when the Lord gives healing, we praise Him for it. But don't forget, when the Lord answers a problem for you, when He answers something, don't forget to praise God for it. But also, don't forget that now I'm going to serve Him with that strength He's given me. Letter D, surely her thankfulness motivated her to serve others. Let us remember Psalm 116:12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? You know, tonight, maybe tonight you just want to thank the Lord in your heart. And you say, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? As Psalm 116 says. Tonight, I hope that as we look at this passage, maybe you have a great problem. Don't forget tonight that God has a plan and God has a master plan. Don't forget that you can be a powerful example. When you choose to just say, Lord, I'll obey, I'll do what you want me to do, the Lord can use us tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, this fever that this mother-in-law had. Lord, that you chose to put it in Scripture. Lord, you have told us that you put these things in Scripture. Lord, you said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the reproofs of your word. Lord, that you can give us encouragement from your word. And Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to focus on you in this month of March. Lord, as we look to see our homes grow for you and we decide to be lighthouses for you, Lord, I pray that our light would be nothing more than Jesus Christ. Father, we are of all men most miserable. Lord, we are dark creatures in and of our souls and in and of ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would help the light of your glorious gospel, not just to shine in our hearts for salvation, but Lord, they would shine in our hearts for service for you. Lord, mold us and make us into what you'd have us to be tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.